Welcome to the Hidden Potential Podcast. I'm your host, Homer Hargrove, and in today's episode, we're going to be talking about 10 leadership principles that will help you in ministry. These 10 different principles are personally learned through experiences that I've either witnessed in others or have gone through myself. And I really believe that these principles will not only show up once, but multiple times in your life, and that they will help carry you through these confusing seasons of leadership, testing times in leadership. Every week we come out with a new episode to be able to help you tap into your hidden potential. And at the end of today's episode, I'm going to give you 3 takeaways to be able to help you apply what we talk about today directly into your own leadership and organization. Let's get started by going over these 10 principles. And as we start, I want to again re-emphasize that these are principles that I would jot down over the years. I just had a little file in my notes app. And there would be these peculiar instances where I feel like were significant and that were meaningful enough for me to write down. And I would see these moments come up again and again throughout the years. And it helped give me greater clarity. It helped give me better direction of how to respond. And I really believe that will help you as well. So to get started, the first one, and let me explain each one as we go. And just know that they might sound some of them might sound more intense than others. But as I explain it, I think that you'll get what I mean by it. The first one is no one is forever. What I mean by that is that people either change or they move on. And sometimes people even just die. And not any person that is a part of your team, your organization, or even as a participating member of your congregation is forever. And the reason that this is a number one principle for you to connect with is because so often when people do leave, at first it can be, there's so many times where it's like surprising. There's moments where you might like, yeah, I kind of felt like they were about to leave or that they were moving on. But there's other moments where it seems almost completely off guard. It's surprising to where you're taken back when you hear of the news. And it's in those moments that you have to reassure yourself and know that those people don't belong to you. It doesn't matter how much you've invested in their lives. You can feel sorry about it. You can feel different negative ways about it. But at the end of the day, they're not yours. And it's their freedom of choice to choose wherever they want to go. And you will save yourself so much heartache by letting go of that. There's nothing that you can say that will convince them to stay. And even if you did have just the right words to convince them to stay, it would only be for a little bit longer, especially if it's somebody that has reasons in which they want to leave. Even if those reasons aren't justified, if you try to argue them back, they will only feel disgruntled as they stay, and they'll find new compound reasons of why they want to leave again. And so again, it's best to just wipe your hands clean and just bless them out and just, you know, let them know that they always have the freedom to come back. But you do not want to try to hold tightly to people staying with you because, again, they're not yours. No one is forever. And so don't hold tightly to when people decide to leave or when they leave by happenstance. Number 2, being there at the right time is everything. I would see time and time again moments in which qualified leaders would miss out on opportunities because they weren't there at the right time. Timing is everything. And if you have all the full equippings for something great, but you're not there at the right time, then you're going to miss it. It's a lot like planting. Like, there's times to plant, there's times to harvest. And if you try to do it out of season, you could have all the right ingredients, but if the timing is off, it won't grow. And so it is with our ministries and with our leadership. And when you understand that, one, it helps you to be more presentable in the sense of presenting yourself in as many opportunities as you can. But it also helps you to not be so disdainful against the moments where you recognize it's not the right timing. You just got to understand that there's certain things have beautiful timing. And if you're prepared for it, then you'll be able to seize those opportunities. But again, it's having to be there at the right time. The number three is understanding that the end goal of every job is to reach people. It's not just to get the job done. The goal is to reach people. And I would see this mistake in ministry a lot, as people would try to go through the motions of certain things with excellence, which is great. We want to be excellent. But oftentimes I would see people step on others in the process, and as they're trying to be excellent, as they're trying to get certain things done, they would end up being rude to certain volunteers or rude to different participants because they wanted it to be just right. Remember, it is good to have excellence, yes, but we should never put the job itself over the people that we're trying to reach, because at the end of the day, it becomes pointless. If no one wants to be with us because of the way we treated them through getting the job done, then the job itself was worthless. You have to remember, what is the real end goal? Number four, address a problem with trust instead of a threat. So often, we have these moments, and I think it's more so like within teams and within coworkers and fellow ministers that we're trying to work with, to where when we have even maybe it's a member or a participant, a congregant, whatever, that has this an issue that you need to address. And so often we go into that problem or that conflict with this threatening attitude, rather than trusting that maybe that wasn't their intention. Maybe they meant it this way, or they intended for it to be like this, or maybe they don't even realize X, Y, or Z. Instead of going into that conflict with a threatened mode. And the reason I say this is I would see time after time different situations in which, say, top leaders would feel threatened because someone said something or did something, and they changed their behavior. They changed how they operated because of that threat, that threatening feeling. And so instead of trusting the person, it was a threat. And by the end of it, the people were like, why are you acting this way? Why are you? It ended up becoming a bigger problem because the trust was not there. Number five, don't seek perfection, seek growth. Now, if you're a leader, you're most likely like type A personality, to where you're driven, you want to get certain things done. But even as type A people, we can get lost in the details, as we want things to be good. We want things to be perfect. And sometimes it's easy for some of us to almost like complicate something too much, to where we never put our foot forward. And we're a simple example is like, that maybe you're trying to create your website or for your church or your ministry or whatever, and you keep just like critiquing it, and you find yourself perfecting things that nobody else is even noticing anymore. And instead of actually going out and reaching people, talking with people, meeting with people, and you got caught behind a desk or doing a data entry or just like desk work instead of people work. Remember, we do need to do that stuff, but the real growth happens with exchanges of dialogue with people, exchanges of moments with people. And if you're not having that, it might mean that they're lost in perfection. I like how Craig Rochelle says that his acronym is GITMO, and that means to good enough to move on. And that's been a life-changing concept for me, to where I would recognize hours spent on a project and I was so busy perfecting it, but I wasn't able to, at the end of the day, I just needed to move on. I needed to focus on growing instead of perfecting this one detail. Y'all dig what I'm saying? Again, good enough to move on. Number six, you can't eat pride and it can't feed your family. This is a very personal one for me. And it's this idea that so many times we either refuse to participate in certain things, or we force ourselves to participate in certain things solely out of our pride. We're worried about how people will look at us, or we have some type of inner pride that we're dealing with. And at the end of the day, we should take pride in our work, but we shouldn't let pride be the driver or the motivating force of why we either do or don't do something. Pride is not the benefactor here. And whenever you catch yourself doing that, again, there's nothing wrong with having pride in your work or being a confident person or wanting to be presentable. But you don't want that to be your motivation. And typically when it is, it usually steers us off course and puts us in predicaments that we don't want to be in as ministers or as leaders. Hey listeners, today I'm reaching out for your support to keep our journey of innovative Christian leadership alive. Every week that we dive into these territories of faith-based leadership, it's made possible because of the contributions made by people who believe in this mission. Whether you want to help us by becoming a monthly supporter or by submitting a one-time donation, you help fuel our discussions on authentic and practical leadership. Your generosity allows us to help other leaders just like yourself harness their creativity for the greater good of our communities and beyond. To support us, please visit homerhargrove.com and look for the support section. It's quick, it's easy, and every bit of it helps us make a greater impact for Christian leadership. Thank you for being a part of our mission. Now, let's get back to today's episode. Number 7, burnout is simply a church word that leaders use when they feel unproductive. I remember one of the first episodes I gave on this podcast was talking about burnout and how people would, young leaders would tell me about how they felt burnt out and they were working less than 20 hours a week. I was like, what are you doing with your time? What do you mean you're burnt out? You're not doing anything. You have to do something to feel burnout. And the reason I'm talking about this is because if we just think that we're burnout, it leaves us in this place to where, oh, well, I need to sit back and relax because I'm feeling frustrated or I'm feeling discouraged and there's nothing I can do about it except slow down. And that's not necessarily true. If you're not really burnt out and you're actually just feeling unproductive with your time, then that means instead of sitting back and relaxing or taking a sabbatical or break, whatever, that you actually need to reevaluate how you use your time. I've seen a lot of leaders who thought that they were experiencing burnout, but they were really just feeling unproductive. And they end up leaving ministry unnecessarily because they ended up taking their hand off the wheel and resting more when they already were not that very productive in the first place, to where the whole ministry ended up just kind of falling away from them. It just all got out from under them to where it seemed too far gone to start up again. That retaking the wheels, just starting from scratch. So they ended up just moving on to a secular job or moving on to something else entirely. And that's why it's so important to realize, like, if you're not really spending more than 20 hours on your work, and I'm not trying to make this like a legalistic idea of how you thinking that you have to have 40 hours if you want to say that you have burnout. All I'm projecting is that maybe it's not burnout. You're just feeling unproductive and you need to better use your time. If you do take a break while thinking you're burnt out when you're not burnt out, it's going to just all fall apart and you're not going to come back from that. Number 8, Christians often misplace true spirituality with dramatized emotionalism. Now, the reason this is important is because if you've ever had somebody tell you, well, God told me this, or God said I need to do this, and oftentimes it doesn't necessarily sound like God, it sounds like them. It just sounds like them and their emotional state. And they're sharing their opinions and they're sharing their heart, their thoughts, but they're saying God said this. And you must understand that spiritualism and emotionalism are completely two different things. We're allowed to have emotions, yes, but don't mistake your emotions for spirituality. It is not the same. Real spirituality is devotion time and putting in the like this sense of time and energy into growing your spiritual walk with God. It is not feelings and flutters of the hearts and you know, deep meanings or thinkings. That's not necessarily spirituality. That is just your emotions. And it's not that it's wrong, but so many times people will use emotions to talk themselves or others out of something truly good or genuine or great. And they talk themselves out of it because of how they're feeling in the moment, because they can't distinguish between emotions and spirituality. Number 9, busyness without productivity leads to burnout, disinterest, and wasted time. This kind of goes back to the idea of seeking perfection instead of growth when you do that. And the idea of just busyness. And I think that we as leaders often want to fill our plate with things because many of us feel more valuable when we're doing more things. We feel like we're needed. It goes to like some inner issues with our hearts to where that's how we feel validated by how many things we're doing at a time. And if you continue down that route without actually being effective or without actually being productive, you're gonna just burn yourself out, and it's gonna make you disinterested in the things that you do actually care about. You will, if you're so busy without actually being productive, you're just filling your stuff with your plate with these almost like minute tasks that you shouldn't have to necessarily be doing. Then you're gonna start being disinterested in things that really once mattered to you, like maybe even preparing the sermons or sharing a message, or you know, things that you actually really care about. You're gonna get disinterested in those things. And it's also gonna lead to so much wasted time. I've been caught in this trap time and time again to where I would just continue to start pouring on these little things that I could do, like, oh, I should do this, I should do that. And they weren't necessarily things I had to do or needed to do, or really, they were just not productive things. And I would feel like I wasted so much time, and I felt so burnt out from the things I actually needed to do. So again, check yourself and your time and energy in what really matters. Not just busyness, but making yourself actually productive and looking at things that only you can do rather than things that everyone could do. And finally, number 10, feeling tension in a room doesn't mean that there is tension in a room. Not everyone always necessarily feels the same way as you do. And this is a really great one to end on, because there's so many moments where there might be unspoken emotions or tensions between people. And I've been in rooms to where it seemed like everybody else felt the tension except for the two leaders that the tension was between. And there's been other times where I've been in the room where one leader thought there was all this tension, and when they blew up on everybody, everyone was just taken back, surprised, and kind of like, what are you talking about? And it's so important to understand that there's moments where your feelings, like your feelings are valid, yeah, but sometimes your feelings aren't necessarily true. And you might feel certain ways, but it doesn't necessarily mean that those things are real. There's been times where I thought there was tension, I realized I was tired. You know, like if you're married in a relationship, you realize this to be true. So many times where you think your spouse is even mad at you, and you realize like, no, I wasn't talking because I thought you were mad. And there's all these different moments where we have unspoken ideas of tension that aren't necessarily true. And if you lead off of those feelings, you will destroy your team. Like, you will destroy your group, because they will feel confused and they will feel a lack of trust as you seem like you're blowing off the handle. And so you have to get a grasp on your emotions. And if you do feel tension with someone, you should address them professionally in the proper way, as a grown adult, and just tell them, hey, I've been feeling this way. Like there's something between us. Is there anything that you want to talk about? I don't know if it's just me or if it's you, and just be reasonable about it. And at least you're trying to be an adult about handling it. And if that person says, no, not at all, then this can dissipate. And if it, you know, you're able to just handle things from there instead of letting your emotions run wild. Those are our 10 principles for today. I hope that they were meaningful, that they were edifying for you. And as our takeaway, number one, I want you to go through these principles and highlight three that you feel like really stick out to you that are prominent for maybe what season you're in right now. Number two, take those same three principles and reflect on how you can apply them in your thought process or even in practical ways. And number three, share some of these principles with your team or with someone else that you trust, and go through and do a backlog of times where you've found them to be true in your own leadership, your own walk, and how those situations could have been different if you had these principles to help guide you along that process. I hope that this episode was meaningful for you. I hope that it made a difference in your life. Could you do me a favor? Could you leave a rating and review for this podcast? It would help me out, help others be able to see this show in their feed. Until next time, have a great life.